Well, good morning, Whitings Church. Wherever you are watching this, whenever you may be watching, be blessed as you hear the word of God. And this morning we're spending a few moments just considering the importance to us of Psalm 133. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. This is another psalm of ascent, songs available to Jewish pilgrims as they climbed up to Jerusalem to attend the festivals of their faith. King David is writing about blessings, God's blessings. The Bible states, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." And the particular blessing he writes about, David, is of course unity or harmony, peace. And the blessing of unity is good and pleasant, and for us all, particularly believers, who of course have an annoying tendency to not live in unity, but at times be conflicted. When we are not in unity, it will not be good nor pleasant. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need your Holy Spirit to lubricate our relationships. We know that unity, being bound together in love, in your love, is everything. So help us to take the steps in our hearts to work at that unity, to work at restoration, and to receive those good and pleasant lives that you have for us. We give thanks, Father. Your word is truth. Speak to us now. Amen. So Psalm 133 is short, though not as short as Psalm 117. And it does two things. It declares a blessing in verse 1, and it describes a blessing in verses 2 to 3. And what is a blessing from God? A blessing is simply God's favor upon a person, people, or place. Who doesn't want God's favor, his mercy, his grace? And the blessing of Psalm 133 is life, life forevermore. It's clear. It's not confusing. Get along with each other in my name, and I will remove friction and lubricate the lives, your lives, with blessings beyond your wildest dreams. That's God's message to us from this psalm. So the blessing is declared with a behold. We do well to take note and mark the message within this psalm. That's what it means. Behold, take note. We must be at peace with each other, for the Bible tells us that only peace with God is more important. So David begins, "Listen up, everyone. You've got to grasp this, okay? How good and pleasant it is when we dwell in unity." He says unity is good and it's pleasant. He could have used different words like how relaxing and cheerful it is when we dwell in unity. Unity is, of course, relaxing and it is cheerful. But this is unity among God's people, which is so vital, because disunity puts a brake on God's grace being lived out. Unity is good because God is good. God wants us to be at peace because that's his plan. That's his heart for us. And unity is pleasant because, well, just because life as God's children runs so much better in unity. It's much more pleasant. The theologian David Guzik writes that not everything that is good is pleasant, and not everything that is pleasant is good. Unity among God's people is such a remarkable blessing because it is both good and pleasant. One of the more modern and well-known churches suffering from severe disunity was the church at Corinth that Paul writes about in the New Testament. God led me to this church, this passage, in my preparations for this talk by placing in my mind 2 Corinthians 13, verse 15. Now, this verse is especially challenging to me in the context of unity, in part because it doesn't actually exist. The epistle actually ends with the grace at verse 14. So why would God lead me to a non-existent verse? Some of us use the Lectio 365 app in our devotions each day, and Shona, along with Deborah, had pointed out that they had been especially moved by last Thursday's content. Peter Gregg had been describing how 298 years ago, a group of mission-minded, spirit-filled German Christians were forming to become known as the Moravians. In 1722, refugees fleeing religious persecution began arriving at an estate in Saxony belonging to Count Zinzendorf. He blessed them with land and homes, but they bickered and argued amongst themselves for 5 long years. 5 years! But then on August the 13th, 1727, at a church meeting, they finally stopped, repented and unified. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell in unity. The result of this repentance was what history calls the Moravian Pentecost. The Holy Spirit took full control of everything and everybody, even those 20 miles away were affected. The world changed that day as unity brought grace and favor, and the Moravians, under the power of the Holy Spirit, started the modern day missionary movement. Good and pleasant it was. It's exactly why Paul paid so much attention to the young church at Corinth, and why we should always be mindful of a critical spirit towards our brothers and sisters. Paul knew that disunity is like a hand grenade. It's an area weapon that wounds and destroys. It's why he wrote in verse 11 of 2 Corinthians 13, "Finally, brothers, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." It's why he ended the letter with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's why he wants you and I to write verse 15. What would we reply with? "Okay, God, thanks for that. Help me with my unforgiveness." Or, "Well, yes, God, but not now, not me. I'm too mad right now." Or worse, "This is too hard a teaching. Who can live together in peace and harmony? Not me. I'm off to find a workable alternative." David goes on to describe the blessing, like sweet-smelling, expensive, extravagant lubricant, oiling life's wheels and cogs, flowing down from heaven as we move up towards the Lord. Guzak says that this illustration is wonderful because when there is unity amongst God's people, it is not only good and pleasant in itself, but it also leads to so many other good things. When the people of God struggle with each other, there are so many other good things they are not doing and enjoying. Don't wait 5 years. So finally, resistance. It's a part of our lives. Our challenge is to hold that truth whilst understanding that perhaps if we try to stay connected to those we struggle with, whilst changing ourselves rather than trying to fix them, unity might be a more experienced blessing. Ask the Holy Spirit to lower our anxiety just one notch and watch our world begin to change. God commanded the blessing, life forevermore. David urged Israel to grasp the blessing. And since we will have life forevermore with each other, the people of God, we should work hard to enjoy unity with each other today. Amen. Let's pray. Father, so many of us have experienced in our walk with you over the years wounds from our fellowship with others. I ask, Father, right now that those wounds be healed again and again and again, because we are weak human beings and we fail in our relationships and we mess up and we wound others. Father, forgive us. Restore us. Help us to fashion heavenly relationships that last forever, right now, here on earth. Lubricate our relationships with one another. Help us in our daily walk with each other to put each other first, preferring one another in our life together with you. And then help us to be aware of all the opportunities that come from that good and pleasant place. As we walk up to meet you, Father, may the oil of blessing of unity flow down over us here at Whiteinch and in our communion with Christians around the world and in our life with those who do not yet know the blessings you hold for them. Bless us now, Father, each one of us, as we go about our day, as we think well of one another. Amen.